to come before you to celebrate who you are, and you are good all the time. I declare, God, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. I declare that your Holy Spirit will be in charge of everything that we say, everything that we do, that every heart will be touched, everyone will learn, everyone will grow. We thank you for breakthrough. We thank you for increase. We thank you for insight that you would shed upon this house today, that you are in charge of making us who we ought to be. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen. I want to kind of introduce what I want to say for a moment and then walk through a number of verses in the Bible and look at some scriptures here together. I want to begin by declaring that it is possible to be unaware of the presence of God, even around God. It's very possible because we live in this world where we put our hands on things, where we hear, where we see and we touch, and we can get caught up in that world and miss the world that God operates. Give you an idea. How many angels are present in the room today? Have you been able to count the number of angels that are present? Angels are present. I mean, at least your angel, guardian angel, is with you. Amen? You didn't leave him outside the door or her outside the door. I don't know what gender they may be, but how many angels are present today? You follow? So angels are present. Angels are available, doing a lot of things. But if I am living in my world and from my world trying to do what can only be done in God's realm, I will miss most of what's going on. In fact, I can become completely frustrated because I can be around God and never able to come in contact with him. I can't see what he's doing. I'm not even aware of what he's doing. I don't know if that's clear. Let me say it again. What I'm trying to describe is that I can miss God near God. I can be very close to God to where I can have a conversation with him and still miss him. I can know where he is and go there and still miss him. I can be in church where God is operating and moving and still miss him. And if I miss God, then I would never receive what God has for me because I'm missing him. I'm not aware that he's there. Is that clear? Okay, let's look at the scripture and see if I can explain this better. John chapter 3. I want you to look at an experience of a gentleman in John chapter 3. Most of us know this passage by heart, or you've read different parts of John chapter 3. And we're going to begin looking at verse number 1 of St. John chapter 3 and start in verse number 1. If you don't have a Bible, we have some available for you that we can make available for you so you can follow along with us. John chapter 3, and we're going to begin with verse number 1 and work our way on through there. John chapter 3. You ready? St. John chapter 3 and begin in verse number 1. You have it? Okay, some of you are still looking, amen. St. John chapter 3, we're going to begin at verse number 1 and read down to verse number 10. And that would be a good place to stop. The most famous verse in here is John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? But we're going to read down to verse number 10. John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees, do you see that? Named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, the same came to Jesus by night. Do you see that? So he's sneaking up to Jesus in the middle of the night, and he's saying unto Jesus, what did he say first? He says, Rabbi, right? Which is a greeting of respect. In other words, I'm coming up to Jesus out of respect. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now, who's the we he's talking about here in the verse? Look at the Pharisees, the rest of us, the Jews, different ones who believe. We know you are a teacher come from God. So there are some who knew that, had that understanding. And then he says, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except what? God be with him. Now, is that true or is that false? Let me back up and look at it again. Verse number 2. The same man came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, right, or respected elder, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, right? For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. When a person does miracles, is that proof that God is with them? Okay? So then, was that true what he's saying so far in this verse? So his understanding is really limited already. You can see that, right? Because he's saying, we know you're from God because you're doing miracles that nobody else can do. We know that you are from God. You are a teacher come from God. Verse number 3. Jesus then answers him, and watch what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. So the man came to Jesus. He's talking about, we know you're a teacher. We know you're from God. We know you're doing miracles. Jesus flips it around and really cuts into the heart of the problem. And it sounds like Jesus is on a different subject, but he's on the same subject. Jesus says, you can't even see me unless you're born again. Now, even though you're talking to me, you don't see what's going on. Do you see that? Verse number 3. Nicodemus, who could not see, do you see verse number 4? Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be what, everybody? Born when he is old. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be what? Born. Wow. Jesus answered verse number 5, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. First, you can't see it. Secondly, you can't enter. That which is born of the flesh is what, everyone? Flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, what must happen? You must be what? Born again. The wind blows where it listeth, or wherever it wants, or wherever you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from whence it cometh, whence it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. Verse number 9, what does Nicodemus answer and say? How can these things what? Be? And Jesus answered and said, art you a master in Israel and knoweth not these things? Do you have it? Let me read it another way. I'm just going to read it from my view of what's going on. Go back to verse number 1. Here's how my view of verse number 1 works. There was a man who considered himself spiritual. He was living in his own world and a ruler in his own world and a ruler over other people who thought like him. This man came to Jesus who lived and operated in God's world. And he tried to talk to Jesus as if he understood what God was about. He said, the supposedly spiritual teacher, hey teacher, hey rabbi, I'm talking to you in respect. I'm talking to you as if you're like us. Hey teacher, hey rabbi, you're one of us. I'm a teacher. I'm a ruler over other Jews. We're on the same level. Not savior. Hey savior, hey Lord, my God, no. But hey teacher, I'm a teacher, you a teacher. All of us are teachers, right? Hey teacher, I know who you are. It takes one to know one, right? I know who you are. What do you know about me? I know you came from God. Really? I know because you are doing things that God has to give you the power to do. I know it because I'm a teacher. You a teacher, and nobody can do these kind of miracles unless God is with them. That's what I know. We're on the same level. I know that about you. Now, was he right or was he wrong? He was wrong because devils can do miracles. So what he thought he knew, he did not know. Or what he knew at such an elemental level that he really couldn't see what he needed to know. Are y'all still with me? Then look at verse number 3. Here's how I interpret verse number 3. I interpret it as Jesus saying, okay, let's see if we operate in the same world. You ready? Nobody can see the kingdom of God unless they have been born again. I know you know that. Verse number 4, what is his response? The supposedly spiritual man said, wait a minute. In my world, you are born once. A man cannot be born again in his mother's womb. Are you following me? I know you're not saying that a grown man will have to crawl back up in his mother's womb and kill her. Amen. Because even with the passage of some babies, the pelvic bones are broken. Because part of the birth process are the bones separating so the baby can get through. So if a baby would mess a mama up, a grown man would kill the mama. You're with me so far, right? So I know you're not saying that, Jesus. I know that's not possible. And Nicodemus said, I know you don't mean a man would have to go up in there the second time. Nicodemus said, how can this be? How can he enter his mother's womb the second time? And it's another way of saying, Jesus, how can you teach an old dog new tricks? How can you take someone who is one way and make them another way? How can I make a New Year's resolution and stick with it when I haven't been able to stick with the resolution from last year? How can I change my ugly ways? Can a man be born again? Are y'all with me? Can I completely turn my life around when I found that I love sin? Surely you don't mean that I crawl back into my mother's womb. Are you following me so far? Okay, verse number 5. Here's my version of verse number 5. Jesus says, number 1, the unborn man cannot enter the kingdom of God at any time. Jesus is saying, not just the second time, he doesn't get to go in the first time. Number 1, he can't see it. Number 2, he can't enter the second time, which proves the point of Jesus. Listen, you can be sitting next to Jesus and not know where he's coming from. You can be so locked into your world and understanding that you miss everything that God is about. You can be in church and not see what God is doing. You can be sitting next to somebody in church and you are outside the kingdom of God, and that person next to you is inside the kingdom. Nicodemus in church, do you understand? Until you're born again, the conversation that God wants to have with you cannot be seen by you or understood by you until you're born again. I'm not sure that's coming across. Can you imagine a baby in the womb trying to describe to you the latest edition of People magazine? Huh? Yeah, the baby doesn't understand. They're in a different world. So until you are born again and you're outside the kingdom of God, if you're outside the kingdom of God, you don't even see what God is doing. You don't understand it. You're not entering into it. It's like a baby inside the womb trying to vote for the next American Idol. You've ever talked to a baby inside the womb? Huh? Anybody pregnant? Yeah, you talk to your baby. What do they hear? Now you say, oh, beautiful baby. The baby's in there, right? Right? What does the baby hear? Right? That's why the baby comes out talking. Amen. That's all I've been hearing. You're talking baby talk. Right? Yeah, don't understand anything that's going on. He's been in another world. Are you listening to me? Jesus says, if all you have are eyes from this world, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus says, unless you are born again, you can't even enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because that which is born of flesh is what, everybody? Oh, I'm going to make that plain in a minute. And that which is born of spirit is what? Spirit. Notice verse number 6. Jesus said, that which is born of flesh, that which is born of spirit. So even if I took a man and caused him to go up in the womb and be born again, it would still be a flesh birth. It would not be a new birth. You with me so far? Huh? Why then do we have to be born again? Hear me. There were two babies born at Children's Hospital down in Los Angeles, two baby boys, and they're born to good fathers, good parents, rather, good homes, mother and father there, and everything like that. They came home, parents wanted them. Are you listening? They wanted them. Everything was going good. They received the best care. They went home, the parents brought them home, and they noticed that there was a difference between the two boys. Anybody here had more than one child? There's a difference between the children, amen? They noticed that one of the children was just very sensitive. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just one of them just sensitive, amen? They wanted to be picked up and held, but held in a certain way. Just sensitive, amen? And everything had to be just so and so. You put them down, they wanted all the attention. The other boy was just different. Just went on about life, was easy going, easy to be around. Anybody have had children like that? Some children are just easier. You might as well admit it, amen? What kind of child were you growing up? Did your parents ever tell you what kind of kids you were? Were you a pain? Anyway, so those boys grew up, guess what? And most of what they were like as babies became most of what they were like as teenagers, which became most of what they were like as adults. And most of what they were like as church members. Anyway, that's not part of the sermon. But they remained the way they were from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They stayed as they were as they grew older. They were just as they were when they came out, because that is how they are. Unless you are able to go back up into the womb and come out as another person, you are as you are. Yeah, would you look at your neighbor and say, that's you, that's you. Yeah. The problem with the two boys is the problem we face in life. We are who we are based on who we are when we are born. Most of what you see of me today is mostly what of me you will see for the rest of my life. What you see... Oh, I'm looking at some of you. Amen. Wake your neighbor up. Amen. Amen. Because I'm seeing something strange right about now. Amen. What you see is mostly what you get. Do you know? You know some things may change over time? Some of you are starting to get scared. Amen. Amen. I got good news for you. But very little of you change over time. Most of you in your changes don't go from black to white. Don't go from extrovert to introvert. You may learn how to be a little nicer. Amen. You may change a few things about you. The dirty little secret is most of us don't change much at all. Most of us, can you hear this? Don't even want to change. Sometimes we decide we need to change because we hear a sermon about change, and so we try to change. Or something painful will happen in your life and you don't want it to come up. So you change for 1 month or for 2 months, and then you go back to being who you are. You're in a relationship. The relationship is not working. Are you still with me? And so you start to do whatever's necessary to keep the person from leaving. So you change what you're doing. You change for a week or you change for 2 weeks, and then when things settle down, what do you do? You go right back to doing what you were doing because that is who you are. That's why some people are having problems in marriage, because you married somebody to change them. And they are going to be who they are. The only problem during the courtship, they didn't show you who they really were. Or they showed you and you were just so desperate that you overlooked that. You said, oh, I'll change that later on down the road, amen? But here you are, one day you decide to change. Listen to me. And you put all of your effort into changing. You're so excited. I'm going to change. I got a New Year's resolution. So I get high on the new program of change. And once the high wears off, I'm right back. No, I'm not right back to where I was before. I'm worse off. I decide that I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I lose the 10 pounds for 4 months. And then after the 4 months, I don't just gain the 10. I gain the 10, and the 10 I would have gained had I kept on being who I was. So now I pick up 20. I would have had the 20 had I kept on. My brain is remembering I am who I am. I'm a big love muffin, amen. Amen. Somebody understand what I'm talking about? You are who you are. You hear a sermon, you go to a revival. And in the revival, there's change in the air, amen. You decide you're going to change. You're going to be patient with people. And 2 weeks later, you're cussing somebody out, amen. Here's another one. Somebody close to you dies. How many have made a commitment to be different after someone died? Mama dies, daddy dies, family member dies. I promise God that I'm going to love him. I'm going to live for him. And guess what? You are who you are. A month later, a year later, the real you comes out unless you are born again. How do we get born again? In the process of your natural birth, stay with me, you have to have the sperm getting inside of the egg, right? Huh? Conception takes place where? In the fallopian tube, right? Amen? Conception? Yeah, somewhere in there, amen? In the general vicinity, amen? But basically, fallopian tube, amen. So conception takes place, and that is the beginning of the process. In the spiritual realm, you have to have the same thing happen. I'm talking solution now. In the spiritual realm, you change when the seed gets inside of you. Luke chapter 8:11 says, the seed is the word of God. So if you let the seed of the word get inside of you, the seed of the word will produce a new you. Why? Because God has a covenant with seeds. Are y'all following me so far? So how does conception take place? The sperm must get inside of the what? The egg. And so the sperm we're saying today, or the seed we're saying today, is the what? The word of God. The word of God must get inside of you. When the word of God gets inside of you, then you begin to change. Everybody say change. And when you begin to change, you become like that, the seed that came inside. The plant is like the seed that was planted to make it the plant. The tomato is like tomato seeds. The tomato plant is like that, right? The nature of the seed is that of the plant. Likewise, if you're born of the word of God, the word of God begins to grow inside of you and make you like the word. Let me say that again. How do you get born again? The word of God coming in, getting in your spirit, and the word of God begins to make you as God says you need to be. The kingdom of God is holy, right? And so as you become filled with the word of God then produces what inside of your life? It produces the holiness. It produces the change. It produces the difference. Therefore, the most important thing is that you get born again, right? So the seed has to get inside of the egg. The seed has to do what? And then the egg becomes implanted in the womb. If the egg stays in the fallopian tube after the seed has gotten in, what kind of problem do we have? Huh? We got a big problem, right? We have something growing and changes taking place, but they're a big problem, right? That is also what happens to us sometimes in the church. That the word of God will get in us and we are not in the right position in church. We are out of order in church, and therefore the kind of growth that will bless your life is not able to take place. We're stuck out of order. The womb is the church. The womb is what? The church. So the word of God gets inside of your life, the womb being the church. You are now to settle in the church. There are a lot of people who say they don't need the church, but you do need a church. You need a local house of worship where you expect it week after week so you can get the word of God to develop you to be able to be all that God wants you to be. If the womb is the church, then the pastor is the obstetrician supervising the delivery. The leaders of the church are there in the operating room making sure you're cared for. You say you don't need a church, but very often by you not being connected to a church, you end up aborting your life. But not receiving the proper spiritual nutrition in order to handle the world that you live in. And what does the devil like more than anything else? To beat you down during the week. And then after beating you down, the biggest thought that comes in your mind is, I'm not going to church. So he can abort your life. How does a new birth take place? First, nobody doesn't know everything about all there is about the new birth, but it is similar to what you read about in scripture and what happens in the Bible. Look at verse number 8. John chapter 3, verse number 8. Are you following me so far? Okay, John chapter 3, verse number 8. It says in verse number 8, the wind does what? Blows where it listeth, and now hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everybody that is what? So listen to this. The wind blows where it wishes, right? The wind will blow on you in a nightclub. The Spirit of God will follow you into the place where you're doing something wrong and blow on you, and you'll find yourself packing your bags, getting up out of that situation. The wind is not under your control. It's under God's control. All you have to do is allow him to work on your life. The baby doesn't have to make itself a baby. But the baby is made when the seed gets inside. You don't have to fight to make yourself right. All you have to work on is receiving the seed, and that will make you right. Let me say it again. Whether you realize it or not, hear me. Whether you realize it or not, some of you are being born again right now. Pastor, how do you know? A fresh idea is breaking through in your life. Some of you are hearing me preach differently from what I'm saying. New ideas, new hope, new thoughts. Your spirit man is coming alive. And you can end up getting pregnant and not even knowing it. Anybody know about that? Matter of fact, if I understand it correctly, the moment of conception, you don't even know what took place. Amen. Come on, y'all might as well admit it. Amen. Even if you planned it, you're not sure it happened. Amen. And then you're going to describe it as an accident later on. It was an accident. No, that wasn't an accident. What you were doing led to that. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? So you can end up listening as the word of God is being preached today. You're getting hopeful. You're getting new ideas. That's the word of God birthing something new inside of you. A new hope, just like the wind. Pastor, what do I need to do? You ready? I need to just surrender to the wind. And the wind will blow you into position. The Spirit of God will blow people out of your life if you let him. And blow the right people in if you will let him. If the wind is in control, God will move you around until you have new passion, new power, and new purpose as a result of knowing the power of God. Let me say it again. How can you be born again? You're born again. Again, I'm saying the seed being the word, right? The Bible talks about being born of the water and the spirit. A lot of people put a lot of emphasis on that, saying whether or not the water is baptism. The water here, I don't believe is baptism, because a lot of people are born again and don't get baptized. They should, but you can be born again before baptism. You know that, don't you? Thief on the cross did not get baptized. So the water here is not just the word. I believe the water here is not baptism. I believe the water is the word that washes and cleanses. Because God makes three commitments to you. One is that he will draw you to himself. You can't find him. Huh? Isn't that right? The Bible says you can't even see him. So he has to draw you to him. If you want to live a better life, that's God drawing you. The other commitment is that God will cleanse you. If you could clean yourself up, you would. But how can you clean out a dirty thought that's embedded in your mind from your birth? Because some of that junk you like is not just you, it's generational. It is strong. The force is strong in you. Because Darth Vader is your daddy. Amen. So anyway, now, so you got this thing going on. And thirdly, God is going to help you. Amen. He will change you. God will change you. Are you listening to me? You cannot change yourself, but God will do what? God will change you. Pastor, I've been born again. But I still have problems. I come to church and I struggle with stuff. Then what is your problem? There's a scripture for you. The Bible talks about dying daily. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What does that mean to die daily? When I tell somebody to die daily, what am I telling them on the other side? I'm telling them to be born again every day, because if you just die and stay there, it won't be a daily thing. So I'm telling you, as a Christian, you need to be born again every day. Every day. What does it look like to be born again? Are y'all still with me? Is this making sense to you? What does it look like to be born again? We were discussing particular situation we're praying about in another area and everything, somebody you would not know or anything like that, but we were just marveling at what's happening. There was a young man years ago, somebody say years ago, got a lady pregnant in his youth. Anybody know about that? You're just sowing whatever you're sowing, amen? Got a lady pregnant in his youth, and he walked away from the baby and the baby's mama. You follow? They lived together for 4 years in their apartment and everything, but he got sick of baby's mama. Whatever his excuse was, he left baby mama. You with me? Then 10 years after that, he meets up with another lady. He's given his heart to God, and he gets married. So now it is 14 years. You following? 14 years down the road. Now he's with the woman of his dreams. He's given his heart to God. But he realizes that he left behind a baby 14 years ago. You follow? Watch New Birth. He's given his heart to God. Guess what he does? He goes 14 years back to find his baby. Because I'm not the same person I used to be. I would drop it and leave it, but now, as a child of God, my heart has changed. I'm going back 14 years to take care of my baby. He goes back, makes arrangement with baby mama, right? To get caught up on child support, to put his arms around his daughter so she knows that she has a man of God in her life. Are you with me? That is the power of being born again. Now, what is he going to face as a result of doing that? What is baby mama going to do? Amen. Somebody said baby mama going to talk mess. See, baby mama knew how to ring his bell 14 years ago. Are you listening? So, no, let's get real. She's not in the kingdom. He's in the kingdom. She ain't seeing kingdom. She's seeing somebody who's cleaned up. Got his body together. Amen. Because he's increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. He's living a healthy life. So here he comes back 14 years later looking good. Now where is baby mama's life gone? 14 years? Ain't gone nowhere. Amen. Here he comes. This is her ship coming in. It doesn't matter to her that he's married. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the power of conversion. Doesn't matter. He comes along to touch his daughter's life because he's been gone 14 years. He's a new creation now. What does baby mama do? Baby mama starts fixing her hair. She started, she wouldn't exercise for 14 years. But now that he's coming, she's on the treadmill. Are you listening to me? I'm being real. She's out shopping, amen, because she knows what he likes. How is he going to survive? Baby mama. Who's going to answer the door? You know she's been practicing, right? Oh, man, she threw it on him at the door, amen. How is he going to survive? Huh? The word working in him brought him into being a new creation. All things, people, have passed away. Are you following that? Do you know in creating a child, it's the daddy who provides the sex of the child. There are women that have been killed in history because the husband wanted a boy and the wife didn't produce a boy. But it was the husband's sperm that carried either the X or the Y. Are you listening? So the father is in charge of the sexual behavior, if you will, of the seed. So now that he's given his heart to his heavenly father is in charge of his sexual behavior. So he can't just drop it, even if she drops it. Let me make it plain. There are a lot of people confused sexually. They say, oh, I was born this way. I just want to do this. I'm a man that's married, but I like other women other than my wife. I'm a woman that's married and I like other men other than my husband. I'm a man that likes other men. I'm a woman that likes other women. That's what my body says. So I'm going to use my body to guide me through life. Wrong. Now that I am converted, even if my body desires something differently, my father determines what is appropriate sexually. And my father says, boy, girl. Are you following me there? And as a result of the father saying that, you can't do everything you want to start doing. What's going to keep him? God is going to keep him. Because he's been what? Born again. Ending up the process. So now here you are. You're in the womb of the church. The word of God is working in your life. And you are not all that you are going to be, but something about you has changed. And what is the work of the enemy? The work of the enemy is nothing about you is different. And I tell you of a truth, everything has changed. In fact, your life is turning around more than you realize. In those few days of the word hitting you, you are changing even though nobody knows the change is taking place. And you will realize over time that a great difference has been made in your life. And so now you can walk with God how? As a new creation, old things have done what? Passed away, and behold, all things have become because I've been born again. Have a problem that I'm struggling with. What do I need to do? I need to die to the problem and be born again to the solution. You got it? Got an issue that I'm struggling with? I need to die to the issue and be born again to the solution. The word has the solution. You work on getting the word in, and then the word will provide the solution. We're going to take a moment and worship just a little more, and then I want to pray and join with us in prayer as we believe God for making a difference where it needs to be made. You're in worship today, And in your journey, you've been moving along with God at a pace that is interesting, sometimes on, sometimes off. And one of the things you're starting to do is complain because your life is not different. And I hear God saying your life is not different because you're not allowing me to lead and guide you. I want to encourage you to worship him and say, God, help me. Let your word be released in my life in new power so that as a result of me working with you and following you, I can have the life that you created me to have. We're going to worship him and believe him for making a difference. Babies don't make themselves babies, amen? But God will make you what you need to be. And you'll be able to shake off that headache, off that heartache, and allow him to make a difference in your life. God bless you. Let's worship together.
Let's just stand and worship him this morning.
It's an individual experience. What is your life about? What is your life about? Where are you headed? What were you created to do? Who were you created to be? Amen. That's what it's about. And so we're worshiping in his atmosphere and saying to God, God, you can change me. He promises to change you. You can clean me up. He promises to clean you up. You can draw me. He promises to draw you. And when he draws you, what will he do? He will make you over again. Anybody here need a new life, a new beginning, a brand new start? To be made over again. Hallelujah. Father, we just believe you today for new life as we worship you. Just as a baby doesn't make itself a baby, we know you can make us into who we need to be. We surrender. We release ourselves to the wind of your Holy Spirit and declare through your might and through your power, you're making a permanent difference in our lives. And that's why we worship you, and that's why we love you. We thank you for this opportunity, God. And thank you for what you're birthing in us even now. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Amen. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's wonderful, he's wonderful. He's all together.
All together.
Thank you, Lord.
Altogether
wonderful. So we can tell you today, we can tell you today. Hallelujah. We can tell you today that you can come out of hiding. Amen. Where have you been hiding? You can come out of hiding. God can literally do the brain transplant today. Amen. One touch from the Lord, your life completely changed. Agree with him in prayer. Don't stay where you are. Let him pull you to where you desire to be in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to agree with you in prayer. If you would like to receive prayer at that level, just come and join me at the altar. And we're just going to believe God for it. Amen. If you're there, let's just believe God and worship. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God, for a fresh praise of making me into what I ought to be in the name of Jesus. I hear the Lord say, I'm the one that makes you. I'm the one that's drawing you. I'm the one that's changing you. I'm the one that's making a difference in your life. Hallelujah. As you praise, as you worship, as you believe, the power of God, the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for breakthrough. Thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for new birth. Thank you for the power of your word working mightily in his life. Thank you for victory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Fresh praise. Fresh praise. Fresh praise. Healing in the name of Jesus. 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 Healing in the name of Jesus, healing. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, we bless you, God. We honor you, God. Hallelujah, we bless you, oh God. We bless you, oh God. We bless you, oh God. Hallelujah, your word says, your word says, your word says it. Your word says it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I can see you touching your people. I can see you touching your people. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord say, rest. I hear the Lord say, rest. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord say, rest. Hallelujah. I hear him say, rest. In the name of Jesus, I hear him say, rest. Rest, rest, rest. Rest, rest. Cast your cares upon him. In the name of Jesus. Cast, yes, yes. We're wiping it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The healing. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. The healing. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you're the maker. You are the creator. You are the creator. Hallelujah. Bless this person in the name of Jesus. You were wonderfully made by God. Hallelujah. Wonderfully made by God. Wonderfully made by God. Wonderfully made by God. You are the way you are, but God wants to add. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No more hiding. No more hiding. No more hiding. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. No more hiding. No more hiding. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So here I am.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Hallelujah, you're causing it to happen. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, you're touching the heart. Hallelujah, you're touching the heart. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to praise him. Don't be afraid to praise him. Don't be afraid to praise him. You're not going to lose control. You're not going to lose control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, yes, we take authority in Jesus' name. Declare a brand new landscape, a brand new landscape in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, a brand new landscape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, yes, he can. The answer is yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you today. I believe in the power of God's word. We would never be different without him. We'll run from one extreme to the other. But if you let God balance your life through his power, let God train you up in the way you should go. And when you're old, you won't depart from it. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. And we seal by your word that it won't fall to the ground. The healings, permanent in Jesus' name. Father, we take authority over the enemy in every way that he would manifest himself. We not only bind him, but we tell him to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, we tell him to go. Somebody shout, go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now we receive. Somebody say, I receive. Hallelujah, we receive. Holy Spirit, we receive. You take the place of that which has left our life and make a difference in us. Hallelujah. You fill up every void. Hallelujah. Every place where it's hurting, oh God, we allow in your presence to go and make a difference in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Bless God. Hallelujah. Bless God with me. Hallelujah. Bless God with me. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord with me. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. We know you can make a difference. Hallelujah. We honor you, oh God. Hallelujah. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord is worthy. Worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. I tell you, he's worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Worthy to be praised. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the messages of the spoken word, studying to show yourself approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed. I trust God is really growing you into the mature Christian leader that he desires you to be. And I just feel it a privilege to be a part of that ministry in your life. I want to share with you an exciting opportunity and project that we're involved in. We are currently renovating our building in the city of Inglewood, California. It will be our ministry headquarters and an evangelistic center, youth training and motivational school. Souls will be won from that place, marriages saved and lives changed. It will be a center for God. The power of the Holy Ghost will be operational, and a lot of evangelistic activity will take place. We will have the kind of headquarters that will glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you personally and ask you to consider at this time to make a gift, a donation, monthly or a one-time gift toward the renovation of this particular property, and also to assist the ministry in its outreach. Your gifts will help us in a powerful way to be the kind of witness God has called us to be. And I'm sure you have understood from sharing with us and listening to the CDs and other downloads or however you have heard about our ministry, I'm sure you have benefited from that, and we want to make that available in the widest way possible. You can go to our website at www.solfellowship.com. That is www.solfellowship.com. There, you can go to click and pledge and make your donation and contributions right there, or you can get information with our mailing address and send it through the postage. I want to thank you so much. My heart is just overjoyed of sharing this time with you, and I look forward to hearing you. God bless. Be strong in the Lord. Take care.